Thank you again for having me this Resurrection Sunday. And as I enjoy my Berkeley Crossroads family and worshiping with you. And I tell you what, bro, that song, man, yes. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. And it just, I guess for me, it's a little overwhelming as, and we'll get into our message, but the Lamb of God, his life was sacrificed for us. And I can imagine when John the Baptist seen him coming, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's your sin and my sin. He took it away. He took away his personal. It's a very personal thing, and I'm just overwhelmed. And you'll see as we get into this message this morning how, well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just the power of your spirit. Lord, your word says that those true worshipers will worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that spirit is not a tangible thing, Lord, that we can necessarily see, but we experience you in the spirit. We come to know you in the spirit. And Lord, your spirit is present with us today, this very moment. And we thank you for that. That we enter into the space of the resurrection of Jesus in the spirit. And we understand you in spirit and in your truth. So Jesus, continue to reveal yourself in spirit and truth to your people, the true worshipers of God, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So with him, right? So we, in order to understand what we're saying is, in the text, we just read it, but we are with him. You have, in order to be with him, we have to understand that the scriptures talk about this lamb. So this Lamb of God, which was the Passover lamb. And before they would eat the Passover, when God instituted the Passover, he was demonstrating what was to come. And he used Moses to take the children of Israel from bondage under the Egyptians, used Moses to lead them into the promised land. But they had to exit Egypt. And we know all the trials and tribulations they went through. But in that exiting, there was Pharaoh who had a hardened heart and resisted what God was doing. And he sent plagues after plagues after plagues. And the final plague was the Passover, the firstborn being taken out. And it was a plague that went throughout the land, every firstborn. And so it's like, well, what was supposed to happen with God's people? Because it was every person was going to lose, every household was going to lose their firstborn. And God says, for my people, this is what you're to do. You're going to get your house and your home passed over. But it's going to be passed over because there's going to be a sacrifice. And you're going to put the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed over the doorposts of your homes. And when the plague comes, when the angel of death comes throughout that land, those that have the blood on the doorposts of their homes, death will pass over. So the interesting thing is in the Paschal lamb in Judaism, the lamb was sacrificed at the first Passover on the eve of the Exodus. So this was on their way out because Pharaoh was dead after that. Well, so to speak. And it's the most momentous event in Jewish history, that Passover, because that took them. It was a very historical event. Things are written in other ancient literature that talked about this thing that happened in Egypt with these Jewish people, that God showed up in a miraculous way. Because he told Pharaoh, and Moses said, he told Moses, the whole world will know this because it's only something that God could do. So the Passover was instituted And the Jews were to mark the doorposts of their homes with the blood of the Lamb. And this was a sign that spared them from destruction. In Christianity, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb is considered to be the fulfillment of the crucifixion and death of Jesus, who is consequently given the title, the Lamb of God. And it's interesting, before they would eat the Passover, this is what they would say. Blessed be thou, the eternal our God, the King of the world, who has sanctified us by thy commands, and has ordained that we should eat the Passover. So it wasn't just the putting of the blood, but there's a process prior to that blood going on that doorpost. In order for that blood to go on that doorpost, there were several things that had to happen. One, they had to find an unblemished lamb, perfect in all its ways. Perfect, couldn't have any spot or blemish on it. And they were told in the first month of the year, this was supposed to happen. It's very laid out. But God says that on the 10th day, this is at the first month of the year, on the 10th day, they were to take the lamb in their home. So they were supposed to take this lamb in. This wasn't just, okay, go kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. No, go get a lamb. Find one that's perfect. Bring him into your home. And then it wasn't into your house to sacrifice. It was into your house for 4 days. So for 4 days, they took this baby lamb in. And they got to know him. They got to experience the lamb. I mean, you know, it's like you get a baby, any baby, anything, you know. You don't just like ignore it. There's something that draws you to the innocence of something that's a baby, whether it's a puppy or a human, I mean, more human, but even animals. Everybody loves babies, puppies. And this was a baby lamb, a young lamb. It was taken in. You don't think they got attached to that lamb? You don't think when the 4 days were up, the kids were like, Mom, Dad, do we have to? Mom's like, can we just go get another one? No, it has to be this one. Because we're attached to this one now.
Yes.
We're attached to this one now. Why this one? It's perfect. And God wanted you to have that attachment. That's why he didn't just write in the sky how to be saved, how to be right with him. He gave us a relationship. He gave us himself. To satisfy the sin debt, he gave us himself. He said, get to know me. See that I'm lowly. See that my yoke is easy. See. He said, embrace. We have to make it personal. We have to bring Christ in. The lamb was to be without blemish. And Jesus was this lamb without sin. In the Old Testament, the high priest would inspect the lamb of any defects before it was sacrificed. In the New Testament, Pilate declared Jesus to be the innocent of any wrongdoing. Think about that. In Luke 23, he said, I find no wrong in this man. I find no wrong. Why are you guys doing this? Then they played the political card. If you don't do this, you're no friend of Caesar. Their hearts were so hard, they just wanted Jesus out of the way. He said, I find no basis of the charge against this man. Jesus was the perfect and blameless sacrifice that could atone for the sins of all humanity. John 3:16 says, Jesus, as the Savior, entered the world. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The Passover lamb was sacrificed on the evening of the fourth day of the month of Nisan. That's the first month of the year. And Jesus was crucified the afternoon on the day of preparation for the Passover. He was that lamb. God orchestrated, set that thing. He set that thing up real smooth. For those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. The blood of the Passover lamb was applied to the doorpost of the Israelites' homes, just as the blood of Jesus covers and protects the believers, us, from the wrath of God. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus purifies us. Listen, it purifies us from all sin. Hebrews 10:19 says, we have confidence of this, that we may enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And there's so much there in the Old Testament that talked about the priests and how that was set up and how the blood allowed them to go into the presence of God because the blood covered their sins. But what we learn and know of Christ, that his blood took away our sins. That's why they had to do the sacrifices over and over again, because they had to keep getting covered up. But that's why the blood of Jesus, once and for all sacrifice, that took away the sins of man. The scriptures teach us that as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sins from us. And east and west don't touch. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, I've removed your transgressions from you. He's removed all that. He was brought in. The lamb was brought in. We were to get to know him. I mean, we have to get to know Jesus for ourselves. It's personal. You have to get to know Jesus for yourself. It's not enough that your mama know him, your daddy know him, your uncle, your grandma used to know him. That doesn't matter. It's personal. He died for my sins and he died for your sins. The perfect, innocent Lamb of God died for you. It was personally for you. Why? Because he loved us. Because God loved us. He sent his son to be the sacrifice for us. Do you know the Savior? You need to get to know the Lamb of God for yourself. He says, come unto me, all you who are heavy and labored, and I will give you rest. Get to know him for yourself. And then finally, the Israelites were to consume the Passover lamb entirely. They were to consume the whole lamb. And that's why Jesus, he teaches us, right? He teaches us, unless you eat my blood, drink my blood, and eat my flesh, you will have no part of me. There was something about taking him all in, completely consuming him. And we talk about it literally, but there's a spiritual and a figural sense that we have to understand it. God has to be all, we have to take him all the way in. We can't play with it. We can't nibble at it. We can't dally. We can't just play with that. He said, eat it. Eat it. Take me all the way in. There's no halfway following God. There's no halfway surrender. It's a complete surrender. I think it's a Psalms. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good and that God is good. When we taste of a life that he offers to us, we taste of all the things that he's trying to give us. We taste of him. And you know, it's like somebody offer you a taste, right? You're going to eat something later, but you offer a taste to determine whether or not you want to eat it, right? And God says, taste it. Taste me. Taste my goodness for your life. Taste it. Just try it out. And sometimes we got to think back because you experience his goodness every day. Sometimes just being able to breathe in his breath, fresh air. Air comes from God. That's a part of his goodness. Your heart beating comes from God. That's another aspect of his goodness. We can find a whole bunch of reasons to praise God. It doesn't have to be external. We can look right here. You can look at yourself. and find a lot of reason to praise God because he's been good to you. He's been good to you. When we talk about being with him, so when they took the lamb in and they were with the lamb, they were with the lamb, and the lamb was with them. And we have to understand that when we're with God and he's with us, that we're in God. But we can't be in God unless God is with us. You get that? Let's look at 2 Chronicles 15. It says, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, you will be found by him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I discovered this scripture in my study this week. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So I don't want God. God said, okay, I don't want you. Well, I want God. He said, well, I want you. But God reaches out first. His hand is offered to us first. No one can come to God unless God calls him. But then as God calls him, we say, we'll come. Either we come or we don't come. Either we accept or we reject. And he puts his stamp of approval being the sovereign God over either one. That's why when Pharaoh resisted Moses and all the plagues were coming, it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But also the Bible teaches God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So which one is right? Both of them. So who did it? God did it. Who did it? Pharaoh did it. Because he says, look, the Lord is with you when you're with him. If you seek him, he'll be found. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. It's a dual both and. That tension exists because God is sovereign. And he puts a stamp of approval on your acceptance of him or your rejection of him. He still signs off on it. He still signs off on it because he's God. I want to be with him. I want to be found in him because he is with me. I don't want to be without him. I don't want to be found without him. So verse 5 of Romans 6 says that we are united with him in a death like his. So a death like his, because we are united with Christ in his death, our evil desires, our bondage to sin also die with him. So it's like we're with him in death, right? So it's in as he died, we too die. Well, what do you mean how we die? We're still here. We're still breathing. No, we die to sin. Our evil desires, our bondage to sin die with him. We are united by faith with him in the resurrection of life. And in that we have unbroken fellowship with God and freedom from sin's hold on us. You don't have to yield to sin anymore. Before I was saved, I just did whatever I wanted. I didn't even look at it as sin. I was just doing me. But then Christ comes in and he shows you his way. Then you're like, man, Lord, how do I clean this up? You don't. You die to it. You have now the power to resist. You can resist the devil now. You can resist temptation. Scripture, James says, resist the devil and he will flee. We got to stop just saying, oh, okay, I just yield to it. No, put up a little fight. Put up a fight. You can resist. You don't have to yield to your passions. You don't have to yield to those desires. You don't have to yield to sin. You can resist. We should be known. We're in a war. It's a battleground, folks. It's real tension. Paul even talks about it. He said, man, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, the things I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. We have battles. Let's stop pretending like we don't. We have struggles. But we have a Savior who died to give us victory. And yeah, you may succumb, you may get tripped up, but guess what you're going to do? You're going to get up and keep going. Because you're not bound by it. You're not a slave by it. They can't hold you hostage. There's no guilt, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. What about when you sin? There's no guilt, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's what you have to understand. Who we are. So we have the power to resist the devil, and we're united with him in death. The second point is we shall, second verse says, that we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection. So we're united with him once again in the resurrection like this. So his resurrection, we in that resurrection that he had from the dead, we too have that hope. That's why we can go boldly and proclaim what they're going to do to you. What can be done to you? Open your mouth and proclaim God. There's nothing no one can do to you. What if they kill me? You'll be resurrected. Colossians 3:3-4 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We have that hope and that power. That's why we can say, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and that he rose, he is risen. When they came to the grave, the angel says, he's not here, he is risen. Come see. Come see where he lay. Come see the space where he lay. God is like, come on, come check this out. Come see what I'm doing. Come see who I am. Come see what I'm capable of. Come on. You can examine God. He's not afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You can come to him and examine and even question, like, how'd you do that, Lord? And you won't have to get it because it's already been done. You ain't got to get it. Just look. Even in the empty tomb, they saw the empty tomb and still some like, well, I don't get it. That's all right. You ain't got to get it. But see what God did. And have faith and believe. So we'll be with him in a resurrection like him. And the third point is like in verse 6 is we know that our old self, say that old self, was crucified with him. You know we have an old self. You know, that's that old self. That old self is dead. And we need to leave that old self dead. We need to be the new creatures that we are in Christ. So we have a new self. Matthew 16:24 says, deny your old self, pick up your cross, and follow me. So we got to deny that old self. It has been crucified with him. So there's some things in our life that we need to die to and we need to crucify. It's different. Death is one thing. Being crucified is the active process of killing off something. So as you crucify your flesh, those wants, those desires, those passions, those things that don't line up with the will and plans of God, we got the later in Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. sexual immorality. We can be clear. I gave some speculation earlier, but the scripture is a little more clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. He's very specific. He says, put them to death. Crucify them. They're a part of your old self. Get rid of that old self. The old self crucified. Paul says, I beat my body into submission. And sometimes it's a process. Once again, it's that fight. It's a battle. Just don't happen. We got to be actively pursuing that because we got to know this is not part of God's plan. So I got to deal with that. I got to crucify that. And lastly, verse 8, it says, now that we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Praise God. He is risen. We shall live with him now. We done crucified in his death, in his burial, and now in the resurrection, we get to live this thing out in the fullness of all that God has for his people. So we know that death is done. We've been made alive in Christ. And so consider yourself dead, but alive. So the life you live, live in Christ to the fullest. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That means we don't walk around, you know, I know we talked about the battles and the struggles. We don't walk around like we've just been war-torn, but we walk around in the victory that God has for us. It's victorious in our living, victorious in our attitude, victorious in our mindset, victorious. I remember this, again, this last illustration. This guy came to our church when we were planting, and he was on drugs and really battled. And I said, this is the process. God says, you know, and when people get arrested, they say, come out with your hands up, right? So we come out with our hands up, right? The authority says, come out with your hands up. And in the process of coming to Christian, God says, come out with your hands up. And your first hands up is the first hands of surrender. Hands up and surrender. The next, you come out with your hands up and praise. So hands up in surrender, hands up in praise. And when you hold your hands up in surrender, you hold your hands up in praise. And then the next thing you do, you're holding your hands up in victory. So come out, folks, with your hands up. Surrender and worship and receive the victory that is found in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for we are with you. In all your ways, oh God, we are with you. Lord, we are with you in your life. We're with you in death. We're with you in the resurrection. And Lord, we are with you in Christ. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you allowed us opportunity to take you in and that you will bless us and keep us. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you, oh God, this is the day, Lord, that you are calling them to salvation. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that's your sin. And if you want that Lamb, the Lord Jesus, to take away your sin, you have to come to him. Come to him completely. Take him in completely. Get to know him for yourself. You surrender, you worship, and God gives you the victory. So if you're here and you want Jesus, you're ready to surrender your life to him, then take this opportunity to just show me your hand. If there's anyone here that does not know Jesus, that wants to know Jesus for themselves, just show your hand. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as I speak to your children today, oh God, Lord, we still every day, Lord, we need to come out and surrender. As we crucify our flesh, as we die with you, oh God. Lord, that We raise our hands, O God, in worship and praise. For behold, the Lamb of God, we come before you, O God, in worship and praise. And Lord, we thank you for the victory, the lifted hands of victory that we have in you. So we thank you also for that opportunity, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In this glorious Resurrection Sunday, we praise your holy name and honor you as Lord, God, and King. In Jesus' name, amen.